The incredible powers of these crystal skulls. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Joanne Parks, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Joanne Parks, our guest tonight. Joanne, let's talk a little bit about the anthropologist, Jane McLaren Walsh from Smithsonian. Apparently, okay. She looked at several skulls, including Max. Tell us how Max got into her hands. She concludes they were all made after 1850.
Jane McLaren Walsh is an anthropologist at the Smithsonian for 35 years. I'm sure she's a fine anthropologist or she wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. I don't think she knew what she was looking at. I don't think, because Max has been researched for years by archaeologists and gemologists, geologists, crystallographers, you name it. And they all look at it and say, we can't do this. It's hand done. And it got into a little bit of a political, personal agenda at the museum. She really wanted all of the stuff done at the Smithsonian, and the documentary filmmakers didn't want to bring all that equipment there, so they made her bring the big 30-something-pound skull from the Smithsonian there. And they did all the research, the British Museum. There was 12 of us in this little room. And she looked on with all, like just like we did. She called me probably 3 or 4 years ago before the documentary was made and said, this Smithsonian skull was left to us by a man who died in Mexico who said it was very ancient and old. She said, I know nothing about these skulls. I don't know what we have here. She said, if I ever find out, then we'll do something here at the Smithsonian. Well, then later we heard from the British Museum, and she had to come there. But she made a statement to the Washington Post that she researched all these skulls, including Max, and Max is no older. Well, she found out that there was a man named Eugene Bouban that was an antique dealer, an antiquities dealer, way back in the 1800s down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. They think they traced papers at the one at the French Museum, and she thinks, it's theory, that maybe the British Museum came from there. So she tossed Max and the rest of them all in under this theory. Without really looking, she has never researched Max at all. Now, and it was written as if it was done at the Smithsonian. She didn't even talk about the British Museum. Max has never been to the Smithsonian. So I just don't think she knew in Max's case, unless it got into a bunch of political stuff, that she knew exactly what she was looking at when it came to Max, because you cannot carve into this crystal with high RPM tools. It just is not going to work.
Would you ever let her look at him again if she...
Not at all.
You would not?
I don't think she'll have a different opinion at all. If you call and ask her, Smithsonian, where is that skull? She'll tell you, oh, it sits down in the basement in a metal drawer looking at the dark all day.
Okay. Now, even if Max was made after 1850, he would still be made a crystal, and wouldn't he still have this kind of...
Exactly. It wouldn't make any difference to me. He would still be the same Max that he was doing the same thing. Instead of calling him Max the Ancient Skull, we just call him Max the Old Antique Skull.
I mean, your crystal's a crystal, isn't it?
Crystal is still crystal, yes, but it's the way it's carved. This cannot be, there's too many dealers that has looked at it pre-Columbian, so this is hand done. We cannot do this. It had to be handmade. It's not even got a high polishing on it. It still has little pit marks on the top of the head where it's been buffed, and they couldn't go over it with tools. They had to hand do it. And I know what really shut it down is the teeth. It looks like Max's teeth is just little scratches.
Yeah.
When they took the cast moldings off of Max's teeth, Mr. Nocerina, myself, my husband was standing there, and the woman who was a useware analysis expert who did date ancient carving, she was sitting there, and she's the one who was doing the research on Max. She took the cast moldings off, and the others were standing over in the corner, and she held up, she was excited. She held up the cast moldings, and she says, look how Max's teeth, because see, they're real smooth. She says, look how they bevel over on these cast moldings, that they come twirl over. And I said, yeah, why? And she said, I recognize the teeth being carved with an ancient wheel that started back in the Mesopotamian Empire that covers ancient Egypt and Samaria. They closed the whole thing down.
The whole thing?
They closed the whole thing down and said, we never researched. We didn't research those two skulls. We just let them sit there because they went no comment on Shauna Roswell. To a point where we messed up the cast moldings. To now we think they were carved, all of these skulls were carved by the best German carvers in the world, who's Eder Oberstein, Germany, but they've been carving since the Middle Ages. They use optical grade flawless quartz. Max is not Eder Oberstein, Germany material.
Isn't there also an ancient amethyst skull out
there
somewhere?
I'm sure there's probably other ones, but like I said, unless, if there's two, there's got to be more. But unless these are properly researched, you just don't know what you're talking about. I know there, one man that you have that I've known since 1989 who's an archaeologist and prehistorian, and that's Stephen Mailer.
Yes.
And
good man.
He's been researching these skulls since 1979 when he met Mr. Nocerino. And Nick talked to Stephen a lot about the skulls and crystals, and he thinks Max is 10,000 years old or more.
Well, let's go on the basis, at least for now, that Max is 3,000 to 10,000 years old. Why do you think he was made originally? Do you think they knew something about the powers of crystal, or do you think they were doing this because it looked good?
Well, I have to, you know, this depends on a person's levels of growth and understanding, and I have different feeling about these skulls, and I feel that these were made in the shape of a skull because this was a reflection of man. This shape and symbol represented all of humankind, and at the same time, it went back to individualism, who was self. Skulls go back in ancient history. There's pictures of monks back in the 18th century holding it with hoods over their head with their capes on. The monks were meditating with the human skull. And there's pictures of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint. He was a Franciscan monk, started the Franciscans. Sometimes you see him with an outstretched hand with a bird. But there's other pictures with him with an outstretched hand with a skull. Now, oftentimes, meanings and messages are left behind in old manuscripts, pictures, paintings. If we take the time to look to see what this message means, instead of saying, oh, look, how wonderful, just walk away. You know, what could he be saying? He's not saying, look at my art object. To me, I believe he's saying, look, this represents mankind. This is a connection, the skull. The skull holds the memory. They're wisdom keepers. They're keepers of knowledge. This is important. The skull is important, and we are important. And I have, there's pictures of Mary Magdalene over in France, a very famous picture of her sitting at a desk with a skull in it. She looks in a mirror, and she has a candle there. Now, since I think these skulls reflect each individual who comes before it and magnifies what's inside, we have the choices. And we can say, well, Mary Magdalene is sitting here with a weird object in her lap, a skull. She can't see herself because it's dark, so she pulls up this candle to look at herself. Or we have the choice to say Mary Magdalene is sitting here with a keeper of knowledge. She can't see, so she has the light to illuminate all that is within, which is the mirror. You really can't see who you are if you remain in darkness. And I feel that really is what that means, that the skulls are the connection to the heart, the soul. You've got in Rome, Italy, there's Mary Magdalene with a large mural on the wall. The skull's at her feet. So, you know, she's not saying, look, guys, here's my art object. She's saying, this is us. This is man. You've got the Day of the Dead in Mexico, All Souls Day.
Have there been any strange things happen because of the skull? I mean, bizarre things?
Well, you know what ectoplasm is.
Oh, sure.
We've got pictures.
I got to ask you, when you cough, you got to move your mouth away from the phone. Okay. And then you do
ectoplasma.
That.
Ectoplasma. Okay, we've got some pictures. In fact, I'm going to be in Santa Monica, California this weekend. I'm going to bring these pictures.
All right.
And there's ectoplasma, and, you know, you get this only times with high spiritual icons and places. And there's this man sitting meditating in front of him that had a broken back. And this ectoplasm is coming off the front of his head, which we call the third eye. It's a spinal cord, and it goes up about 2 feet. And he's sitting on, and Max is sitting on top of the ectoplasma. This is just, I just say, this just turn around, you take it with a little digital camera. You can't finagle the film or nothing.
Right, and you can't see it with your naked eye.
No,
can you
can't see it. He's sitting on top, and in that spinal, what it is, a spinal cord, and where it bends, where this man had broken his back, and all in the spinal cord, this ectoplasma, is vertebrae. So when I was in Florida, Safety Harbor, Florida, was taken, there's some doctors in Boston that looked at it. And they just shook their head and put it down. They said, this looks like a spinal cord with the vertebrae in it. And another man has his head over the skull, and you see him, the energy coming off in the picture, and it just envelops him. So there is, you know, they can be, I know a lot of people don't think orbs or anything. There'll be a lot of orbs around him at times, and then the times there's not there. I'll be sitting there with a big pink one hanging over me.
If Max was used by the Mayan priests mm-hmm. for healing, for prayer, and who knows what, mm-hmm. what happens during 2012, which is supposed to be the end date of the Mayan calendar? I wonder if there's something that's going to happen here with Max and something else
well,
like that.
The legend states that they can't, if they can all come together to mankind gets their act together. So unless mankind gets their act together, there's been a lot of skulls together before, and the world remains the same. So unless the original ones, unless the original ones are all found, you know, I don't think they're going to do anything. They're scattered.
How do you think he was made?
I think Max was made some way, worked and worked and worked. I think he was in many, many different cultures, many different civilizations over a period of time around the world. They traded, boat the way they did. I think they worked and worked and worked.
Could they? They chiseled away at him. Is that
they couldn't chisel because this is not a high impact. You can't. You'll break it.
What do you do? Do you grind it? Rub it?
You would have to take sand and water and maybe even if they even used. I don't even know if back in that time if they even used dry hides and things.
Would he break, Joanne, if you dropped him?
Oh yes, of course. Any crystal.
All right, he'd shatter.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That just a little
horrible
vibration. You can't put even a saw on this. The grinding wheel is going to vibrate it and tear it.
Okay. So when they got him, he was a rock, all right? One big rock.
One great big giant rock.
And they just started polishing him, I guess. Down and down and down. Symmetry-wise, is he balanced?
He's pretty, pretty balanced, and that's what's got them, because when the chiropractors look at it, it's got the third eye. If you run your head in your hand in the back of his head, it dips like the human head. Beneath it, it has the medulla oblongata that connects our neck to our spinal cord. He possesses massatoid bones. So it possesses what we have all in this poor quality of quartz, and they don't know how they did it because you can't go in there to work it by hand. So it had to be for a very, very high purpose. Like I said, I believe it was a keeper of knowledge. It was revered. It was a spiritual icon.
Well, and now let's talk about his healing strengths. Of course, we know what happened. Mm-hmm. Of course, for your daughter, for the extension.
Right.
What else has happened with him?
Well, we've had people say that they've come in with different ailments. They come in, they said their back was killing them. They couldn't move. They couldn't walk, and all of a sudden they get up and they could walk fine. I've had people say they had headaches. Of course, the headaches go away. Now, that could be, you know, power of suggestion. I believe in the power of the mind to create living thought. Simply put, if you believe in something strong enough, you can make it happen for the person who holds a belief system anyway. But until and unless the subconscious mind is in agreement with the conscious mind, nothing will happen. The body and the mind have to work together. And I believe when you believe and that belief system, and you touch something like this, it's like going to Matagorji, it's like going into something, and you believe, then the shift in the conscious occurs. A cellular structure happens, and oftentimes a person is able to heal themselves. And this is the booster that helps connect for each person to do that. So there has been different types of healing that have gone on, like this man's back. We're going to look his back with him, but there's the ectoplasm. This is the thing that's verifiable that you can see with the naked eye.
Do you touch Max yourself for healing purposes?
Well, I let people go in there by themselves and touch Max.
You do?
Because I believe that no one should be coaxed or something. I believe it's a one-on-one, and what's meant for each person and each energy is individual.
Somebody just wrote a note to us, and they wanted to know if Nick Nocerino lived in California at all, if you know, in the 50s.
He passed away on May the 23rd, 3 years ago. And he did. He lived in the Bay Area of California.
They met him.
Wife, Chris Nocerina, still lives there and has Shauna Ra, the ancient.
They might have known him. If Max is authentic,
mm-hmm.
What's he worth? What do you think?
Well, a lot of people have asked me that. All I can say as a tool for research, evaluation, and growth, he's probably an estimable.
He's priceless there.
And as an antiquity, I'm not sure anyone could probably place a monetary value on him.
To a collector? Who knows,
right? Who knows? Millions.
Why don't you sell him?
Well, I can't right now. He's my baby. This is what brought me. He did for me what no human could do. He brought me out of a 5-year-long, deep, dark pit over the death of my daughter.
Yes.
Something that no one else could do. These skulls, I believe, when people come before Max.
So he's not worth selling for the money, is he?
No, not right now. Anyway, maybe someday I'd like to pass him on because I can't do this forever. And I certainly can't have people come to my house forever. They've been coming here for 20 years. I just come back from France. It was 800 people. When we went to Holland, it was 1,000 people from 12 different countries.
You keep him in a special box. There's a kind of a funny story.
No, he stays out now. But when he's traveling, he's in a special
box. Yeah, because he wanted to be in this box?
Yes, he told me how to pack him and what color he wanted to be in and everything. And I had no idea.
Come on, tell me about that.
Well, he said, I have to be in a hard case. I didn't know what to do. He's in an old makeup case. I said, this is perfect. I said, well, now what am I going to do? And in my mind, he said, you've got to put a rubber phone all around me in the top. I didn't know what to do. And I put that, and he said, put me in purple. I put him in purple.
Purple?
Purple. That is his color, purple.
Must have been the color of some Mayan priest.
Well, it was the color purple because he was with a lot of red. And then when I closed the box, he said, now you have to put a safety belt around me. So he's got his own little belt, and he's got his own set of wheels. So he's on wheels. So when I go to the airport, they know me. They say, where's Max going today? They'll say, Max is in the building. Max is in the building. And when I'm leaving and rolling him out, they'll say, Max is leaving the building.
That's funny.
So he's recognized in many places because of the documentary. But
what have people said about him? Because he does go on tour.
Well, most is always just good. I mean, it's the people that come in contact with him. They sit with him. I've had letters from people tell me that, you know, what he's done for their lives, that he's changed their lives in so many ways, that he's helped to enhance and expand on their lives. And one here says, thank you for sharing Max with us. My private session turned into time of recognition. That is recognizing some things my soul longs for as the time is ripe for some new expressions. Max has helped me towards connecting with this. Thank you. So I get these letters all the time how Max has helped each of these people in some way personally to take them on their other path, wherever that might be.
These newer skulls, Joanne, that are being made either in China or someplace else, are they being made with crystal?
They're made out of crystal mostly, huh? Well, yeah, rose quartz, different colors of crystal. They come in all different colors, and they've made out of wood, but most of them are made out of some type of crystal, rose quartz, amethyst, you know, citrine, everything, all types of stones.
I've had people say that you should just walk around with crystal on you. Do you agree with that?
You can, yes. I think you bet people that crystal. I have a crystal bracelet that I wear. I don't think it would. It certainly doesn't hurt. I feel most of us need help now and then. I mean, you know, some of us need help now and then. Most of us can use all the help we can get.
All right. Well, and you do charge a little bit, though, for people to come and touch him, don't you?
Not at home. Here it's free.
Here it's free.
Yeah, here it's free. People come to my house, it's free. When I go out, I keep it minimal because I pay my own airfares of $300 to $500, and I pay the people who host me.
Do you get a big crowd?
I kind of keep it little because I like the individual. I like to look people in the eye when I talk to them. I've gone to France. If not, they wouldn't see him. There was 600 people there 2 years ago, and Shauna Ra and Max was there 4 weeks ago, and there was 600 people, and they had to turn people away. Like I said, 1,000 people in Holland. But when I come, I really like the sometimes I've had 20 people for the lecture, 30 people, 60. You just put it out there, and who is called and supposed to come, comes.
He kind of sounds like the goose that laid the golden egg. If somebody tried to steal him, I wonder if he'd scream.
I wouldn't want to do that. there could be some repercussions to that.
I'm looking at a picture, a black and white picture of him that was off of one of the websites.
Uh-huh.
Your website, as a matter of fact.
I don't have a website for myself.
Okay, somebody else has got it.
Yeah, and they're getting a lot of email, so we need to give my email address to them.
Why does his left side look almost crystal clear, and then the rest of him looks somewhat clouded?
Because he's different color. There you're getting into the different shadings of him. That's the different things. He's been way, way deep in the earth. Dr. Schock and some of the geologists said this stone has been very, very deep in the earth and it's different colors, and that's what makes
it right.
Different.
So he is kind of clouded looking.
He's cloudy and clear, and he's got a lot of streaks in him, which means that's vapor trails. That means he's been somewhere deep in the earth, and he has gone over it, and it's tracked it. It's vapor trails, and it's full of microscopic bubbles of gases and water.
Okay, let's take some fast blast questions when we come back with you, and then next hour, we'll finish up the night with phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you talk about synchronicity. Dr. Fred Bell just yesterday sent me a couple boxes of different kinds of crystals to try out. And he wants me to call him next week because, you know, he wants to train me in how you use them. I mean, it's just strange that they would pop up and here's the crystal skull. Max, we'll be back in a moment. Fast blast me now. We'll take those questions for Joanne Parks and Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Joanne. Let's go through some of our fast blast questions here. Marilyn, it says, from Mississippi, why do some people associate death with a skull rather than life, like you could with a crystal skull? That's interesting.
Well, some people do represent the skulls of life. They were keepers of knowledge. There was no death. There was just transformation from one life to the next through the skull. That's why they do the Day of the Dead over in Mexico. It's the skull represented life, and it did not represent death. It was just transformation, and death got started on the skulls because we're conditioned. It's a conditioning effect. Like I said, they were revered back in ancient time. Of course, Hollywood come in, a skull and crossbones, and this, and it does represent the self and immortality. But I think it does represent life because the bone. That's why the bone on our head holds memory. The bone on the head holds energy as well.
Gerald from Arizona wants to know about imperfections on the left side of Max. I think you explained a little bit by saying it looks like just different kinds of
it is the different crystal types of crystals he's made up of.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
The tours that you take with him, I mean, do you have to get high security or anything like that?
Not at all. I wasn't on a plane in my life, and I just went out. I didn't wake up one morning and say, whoa, I have a crystal skull. I think I'll take it out and share it with the world.
People might want to email you. Do you have one?
Yeah, you need to use my email because the other one, the person sending this over, it's Max and Joanne. It's maxandjoann @hotmail.com.
Tell us a little bit more about the ectoplasm phenomena associated with Max.
We have some more, too. I've got one of him where I'm standing and looking at him, and gold, you know, you've seen when things, the streets get hot, and you see things look like it's radiating heat.
Mm-hmm.
It stands in gold about a foot off his face. You can't even hardly see his face. His face is completely blurred, and gold streaks is coming off of him.
John from Washington writes, I've been using photo editor to color an image of Max. I've got to meet him. It's obvious there's something special about this stone. And then he goes on to ask if you've ever had Max tested, specifically electronically.
I don't know what kind of electronic he's talking. He's been tested with oral meters to pick up the energy that goes. It just keeps moving and moving if nothing gets in his way.
He doesn't do any unusual things, though, like around the house. You don't have appliances go on and off or anything like that?
It only happened once, and actually I was at a mainstream Lutheran minister's home in West Virginia.
Really? What happened?
And we were upstairs, and it was in the night. It didn't wake me up, and the woman came down the next day, his wife, and she says, she said, I had to come get up in the night. She said, did you hear the dishwasher turn on? I said, no. She said, she came down and turned the dishwasher off, and later the buzzer on the stove went off. She came and turned it off.
I can't remember when I saw the movie Apocalypto, if they had crystal skulls in that movie or not.
I'm not sure. I
can't
think
remember.
I don't think they did.
Now, see, that would have been authentic if he had used that.
Maybe so, but I don't think they did. I mean, they could have flashed it and you not know it.
True. True. How would you as a priest, if you were a priest, how would you use the priest in healing? Simply like the Lama did? He just touched it? How would that
work?
Well,
I would think that, yes, that someone could come and stand in front of it and they would touch it. I wouldn't know at all what the priest would do back then, except use it. Either they had a group of people or they used it. Maybe they only put it on an altar and people came and sat in front of it on an altar because the energy will radiate out.
Joanne, why a skull? I mean, have there been crystal bodies?
I think it's in the shape of a skull because I think this is the universal symbol of man. This represents you. This represents me. This shape and symbol represents all of humankind. It's connecting to what it means, and it goes right back to individualism, who is self.
You know, it's kind of interesting because during Halloween, of course, they have skulls and things like that, but they sure don't look like Max.
No, I'll tell you we're interesting, where he'll be next month. He's going to be with Father Bob, the Catholic priest at Notre Dame.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to walk the ley lines, and he's going to show us how Notre Dame's laid out on astrology, the ley lines and the all the ley lines and the sacred geometry.
You should put Richard Hoagland would like that. You should.
We're going to be there at Notre Dame outside of Mishawaka, Indiana.
You should put Max in the middle of a crop circle.
Well, we haven't been to the crop circles, but they have had spirits, I think, walk through Notre Dame, and there's been levitations there, so we're going to put him right on the place where the levitations happen and take pictures.
When Nick Nocerino was alive, the expert in all kinds of crystal skulls, one, what got him interested in that, do you know? crystal skulls in general?
Well, I'm not sure. He had a boy, like I said, when he was raised paranormal, he was a paranormal researcher, and he had a boyhood vision. In his boyhood vision, he envisioned one master skull surrounded by 12 smaller skulls, and that master skull contained all the wisdom and information of the other 12. And that could have been a vision of the future, that could have been a vision of the past, or it could have been his boyhood vision. And then when he was in the service, he saw his first crystal skull called the Blood of Christ over in France. And they thought he was the courier because he was in the service and he was off the boat and he took his crystals. He was going to wash his hands and took his crystals out of his hands at a farmhouse, and they come out with a package and this is yours. And it had a crystal skull. And he said, no, this isn't mine. And he said he didn't take it. He said if he had been on the boat out there and the boat was sunken. He came back later to look for the form, and it was all gone. So that got him interested in his boyhood vision, and at that time when he saw his first crystal skull.
So what was the message? Did you ever get the message of what the crystal skull was all about after Norbu gave it to you?
Well, yeah, I think it's to be shared. It's a connection to share to mankind, to help bring mankind together, to help mankind realize important things in life, that things can be taken from you very fast, and that the true meaning is to put your you know, your life in order with your family, your grandparents, to take care of your grandchildren. It's a connection. I think that skull is a connection, and it's about peace and bringing people back together.
Are you familiar?
He inspired me to do Max's peace message that's going to go out, maybe even music, and that was in a dream in 1999. So, and I'm not a writer. Like I said, he inspires people.
Do you play special music with him?
No, I don't know, but I don't play music, but he's had the flutes, he's had banjos, he's had organs, he's had all kind of music instruments, bongo drums, everything that's been played to him.
Are you aware of Coral Castle in Homestead, Florida?
I have heard of that, yes.
Okay, built by a fellow, not 100-pounder, named
yes.
Edward Leed Skalnin.
Yes.
Nobody knows how he moved those blocks.
Absolutely, yes.
Really, there are ley lines there.
Right.
I wonder, you should bring Max down that way.
Well, I'll go to Florida often, and I've been asked to, but usually when I go someplace, I don't even see anything. When I get up, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a plane, after about midnight, I get about 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and then when I get out, I go for the people. There's only a certain amount of people can see Max, because I'm only there just a couple of days. And then Sunday, I'm dead, because I don't get sometimes I ain't had 7 hours of sleep in 2.5 days, and then I come back home, and I just kind of wipe out. But I keep running off of Max's energy. So I really don't get to go out and see much when I'm gone.
Give us some examples, if you would, of how Max has changed other people's lives.
He's just inspired them. They've told me they've written poetry. They've gone home and they've had different visions and dreams of other civilizations. He inspires you to do things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. That's trapped in your subconscious, and he's there just to give you that little push. So I have letters, so many letters about things that Max has done for people.
Are you...
Like I said, I know if he's done what he's done for me, he can do for somebody else.
Now tell me what this room is laid out like.
His room?
Yeah.
You come in the door, and it was our living room, and it's got little things of crystals and things that people have brought for him, and it's got a little dream catcher that Nick made, and it's got a little table that he sits at, and it's got his music, and then when people come in, I have the little doors that I close, and they can meditate privately.
A lot of people have said that when they see Max, meet Max, they feel an increase in energy.
Yes, they do. And some it brings up the emotions. I keep Kleenexes because some people sit down and it's almost like you're connecting to an old, they said it's like I'm connecting to an old friend and I don't want to leave him. So the tears start coming, which I think is a cleansing. And so things will just happen that people are not expecting to happen when they sit down in front of this crystal skull. It's amazing. He's extraordinary.
You have had people actually break down when they're in front of Max?
Oh, gosh, yeah, all the time, constantly. This goes on constantly. The tears start flowing because they feel this connection some way, and the tears, men and women, they will just start crying.
Tears of joy and happiness.
Yeah, and also releasing things.
Well, Max, of course, as we've been talking about, has been presented in several documentaries.
Yes.
He was researched by the British Museum in conjunction with the BBC as well. He's been all over the place.
He's been pretty, yeah, he goes everywhere.
If he could talk,
mm-hmm.
Well, he does through you, I guess, telepathy-wise, but
yes.
If he could talk, what do you think he'd say?
Gosh, I don't know. I think he would say mankind needs to clean up their act, that the world is really in a mess, and I think he's here to let each person to be able to, you know, kind of clean up their act. They can sit people, that people sit in front of him that they said that they've did things that they shouldn't do, and he's helped them to realize that they have to get themselves back in order. If you don't live your life right, then it's not going to go for you. And he tells a lot of people that you have to live your life right.
You have to live your life right. I mean, is he like
no,
he's truth
not a prophet. He's not a guru or prophet. Or prophet. They just feel that he's telling people that they need to, because it almost looks like he says when they break down and cry, like he's saying, you have to live your life right.
What's your husband think about him?
My husband loves to see the people come to the house. He went to France with me, and he went to Holland with me, and he loves to hear the people. You'd be surprised at people. I meet mainstream lawyers, doctors. I've met CIA agents, the FBI, the police officers, detectives who come to meditate with this guy. Politicians that don't want to be named. So people from all walks of life, not just everyday little person like me. I'm talking about people from all walks of life want to come and meditate with Max. And my husband loves to see the people and talk to them and find out, you know, what they think about Max. And he likes to hear their stories.
He came out of Guatemala. Are they trying to get him back?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because I wasn't there and didn't take it, buy it, or get it. It was given to me as a gift. And so, you know, unless you see it, I've had the man at the British Museum, he was there from Guatemala, and he was the antiquities all over Guatemala. He said he had the authority to walk in and pick up any illegal artifacts anywhere, any state, any person's house, anywhere. And he said he would not touch Max or Shana Ra because he cannot prove that it belongs to them.
Sherry from Haywood, California wants to know if you've ever taken Max through a hospital, maybe even a children's ward where a lot of sick kids might be.
Haven't taken him to the hospitals and the sick wards. I've been asked to. I mean, I haven't been asked to, but I have done things for children where we do workshops where I get children that's metaphysical and been raised in the spiritual things. And Max goes in the center, and for an hour, their parents come, and we pass them out papers and colors. And they go up, and they're about 7 to 8 years old to 10, and they go up and touch Max and come back, and they will draw what they see. But I've had people bring autism children and things like that to Max to touch because he just loves kids. So there's been a lot of children around him.
Are there other texts somewhere that talk about ancient crystal skulls anywhere?
Any text. I don't really think I've heard about anything. When I started out 20 years ago, I never heard about anything about ancient crystal skulls. It seems to be kind of new. Like I said, if it's a legend, it's been kept quiet.
How has he changed your life?
He has not actually changed my life. I didn't just go to bed one night thinking one way and getting up and thinking another, like an atheist to a believer or something like that. It wasn't that drastic. He's expanded on my life, and he's enhanced my life in so many ways. And so I really feel, here's what I feel. I feel when people come before Max, there's really, really no wrong or right in this. It's what this image brings up in each individual who comes before it. The choices that we have been given as people to make, that we can look at this image who represents self and find value and worth in self, or we can look at this image who reflects self and we see nothing and simply turn and walk away. So I feel he's here to help each person tap deep within their own self and to be able to express self in the manner and the way that they need to at that particular time. So to me, he's a tool for self-reflection and a tool for self-expression and to remind each person that they can reach their highest goals.
Would you miss him if you didn't have him anymore?
Of course I'd miss him, yes. I would miss him. But I don't covenant Max. I don't want to see him. He worked so long to get out of that box in the closet that someday I do hope he goes to another person or organization that's going to keep him out there. Because why would I want it if I get too old and I put him back on a shelf and he never gets seen again?
Any more plans to have him researched by anybody else?
Not museums, but he's researched all the time. There's archaeologists and gemologists and geologists and people to carvers. They come all the time. There was just some here 2 weeks ago. She is a marine biologist and an anthropologist, teaches in Florida.
So they're welcome.
Oh, yeah, sure. These researched by these kind of people all the time. What it is, Max's stone, he didn't like Dr. Schock and some of the other geologists stated, and even Stephen Mailer, he doesn't need cast moldings. His stone speaks for himself. The cracks and everything in it, it's the stone just speaks for itself.
In a meditative state with Max around, can people remote view or astral project or anything like that?
If they're truly trained in that, I think they could.
Does it give him, it gives them more powers?
I don't think it gives him more powers, no. I think his energy is there, and I think the power comes to the person who puts the energy into it.
Okay, you said that he's a little taller than a human skull, a little bigger. How heavy is he?
It's 18 pounds and 2 ounces.
18 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So he's kind of heavy. That's why he's got his own set of wheels.
Yeah, well, he's a couple pounds heavier than they thought he was.
Yeah, he's 18, too.
And, again, of these other skulls that are around the planet, are they all authentic, or are some of them, you know, much later?
No, and like I said, there's only 7 skulls that's been academically researched, and that's the 7 that I have pictures of the research that was researched at the British Museum in 1996. There's been no others that's been academically researched, really. And I don't think, no, all of these skulls that claim to be ancient are not, because I know for sure they're not. Now, the beauty of the legend, here's the beauty of this legend, is how all these new skulls have entered people's lives throughout the world, and how these skulls have touched people's lives in so many ways, and how they have helped people in so many ways, and they have become their own tools of focus. They have been able to express themselves through their own tools. So this is the beauty of what come from this legend. Well, how these new crystal skulls are being used by some people.
You know, in these movies, how someone has a key to one thing and someone has a key to the other, and they put them together and they match
right,
up and work. What would happen if a lot of these skulls were put in the same area together?
Well, there has been many times. Like I said, we've did crystal skull events with Dr. Chet Snow in Sedona. There's been many crystal skulls together at one time.
Can you see an effect?
Well, I'm sure there probably is, because there's going to be a high energy field there. As far as changing the world, well, you see, the world remains the same. But there's got to be an effect, because you have, even if they're new, because you're having all this energy in one room, and crystal, you set up your own crystals, whether they're skulls or just balls of crystal. You set them up together, that sets up a grid, and then that energy starts moving back and forth. So, yes, I think there would be a powerful energy field with a lot of crystal skulls, or even a lot of crystals in the room.
From Kelseyville, California, Tammy wants to know if you've ever witnessed noise or vibrations, levitation, anything with the skull.
I haven't witnessed any levitations, and there's been little high-pitched sounds that some people can hear. Some people touch him and said they can feel a vibration, or they can feel a pulse or a heartbeat.
A pulse or a heartbeat?
Mm-hmm. Feels like he pulses for them sometimes. And so I hear this quite often, that sometimes they'll touch him and it feels like he's alive, and that he's got a kind of a heartbeat and a pulse to him.
Can we buy Max replicas from Tony in Tennessee?
I have no Max replicas, no. Somebody puts them on the internet and sells them as Max replicas, but believe me, I didn't authorize
it. It's not you.
It's not me. I didn't authorize any of that.
Are there female skulls out there?
I'm sure there are. I think that maybe you touch a skull, and that's why each person gets their skull and they name it. I tell people, if you get your new skull, give it a name, because you bond with it. It'll have a name. It'll give you, if you stay with it long enough, it will tell you its name.
Let's
bond with what you name.
Let's come back with phone calls. What a fast night on Coast to Coast AM. Lines are open.